Okay, wonderful. It's been a great meeting so far this morning, and I do love the way God speaks. And so if you'd like to open up your Bibles, I'm going to go to John chapter 7. Roy didn't know what I was preaching on this morning specifically, so you'll see what I mean by I love the way God speaks. We're going to read verses 37 to 39. And last week we started a series, or a mini series, on the church God has called us to be and to become. And last week we spoke about being a redeeming community and a restoring church. The power of the Holy Spirit in us is to redeem and share the kindness of God with others. Jesus Christ came to make people whole. Jesus is in the restoring business. And I used the word last week. I spoke a bit about restoring souls and restoring lives. Jesus comes to make us whole in every part of our being. One day, Tom's body will join his spirit and his soul where he is now in the immediate presence of Jesus Christ, and he will forever worship him in a new spiritual body. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches, that when Jesus Christ returns again, the dead in Christ, i.e. our bodies, will rise and we'll together be with the Lord forever. As soon as we die physically, of course, for those of us who know Jesus Christ, our inner being, the real you that is on the inside, your spiritual being, your real character on the inside, goes immediately to be in the presence of Christ because of what Jesus has done. But it comes through faith in Jesus. If you don't know Jesus this morning, the way to receive eternal life is by putting your faith in him. Turning from your sin and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's an amazing thing. But Jesus has come to bring solutions. Jesus has come to bring answers to the problems of this world. He ultimately is the only answer to every problem that we have. And he comes to bring wholeness. And I've been reading through the Gospel of Mark the last couple of weeks, and just struck again by the fact that Jesus uses these words several times. He says, "Your faith has made you whole, made you well. Your faith has saved you." He said that to the lady who pressed in to him through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." He said it to the leper who had been healed, but was only the one out of the ten that went back and thanked Jesus for his healing. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. The leper wasn't just healed of his leprosy, he was healed in terms of a new identity, because a leper was an outcast in Israel. Jesus brought wholeness to lives, not just in terms of physical, but in terms of spiritual, mental, emotional, in every part of their being. So when the four friends, imagine if this happened in this building. This was packed. When the four friends broke through the roof to bring their friend who was paralyzed into the presence of Jesus, because it was just crowds everywhere, they were determined to get to Jesus, and you can imagine the kind of Jesus feeling a bit of dust on his head as he's preaching, and suddenly he looks up and this guy being lowered in. And the Bible says when he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven, rise up and walk." But he saw their faith. And Jesus has called us as believers to receive wholeness and to impart wholeness. And so that man received wholeness in his body, but he also received forgiveness of sins. And we're called to minister to the whole person. Jesus came to minister, to restore broken hearts, broken marriages, broken families, broken relationships, brokenness in our own lives. He's come to bring restoration. And it's an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing. We've seen it many times in this community. We've seen it in the last number of months. We've seen it in the last number of years. Marriage is being restored. Parent-child relationships being restored. Broken hearts being restored. Doctors can do so much physically for us, but there's only one person who can actually restore our inner world and put the pieces back together again. It's the Lord who wants to become your shepherd. Yeah? Psalm 23 verse 5 says, "The Lord restores my soul." Yeah. But it goes on to say that we are to come to Him on a daily basis to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He anoints my head with fresh oil, and my cup overflows. And so we receive restoration in our souls as we come to Him, but we receive it power and life through the Holy Spirit to go and be those life givers to others, to see people restored. It's an overflowing. And this moment this morning, it's a refilling and a refueling time. And I do want to give space, and I'm not going to preach for long this morning. I do want to give space for us to be drinking and refilling with the Holy Spirit this morning. I believe that's what God's been speaking about. Refueling, refilling. So let's read this text this morning. I want to talk about, not only does God want us to be a redeeming and restoring community, He wants us to be a refreshing community. And we've had prophetic words over us as a church in the last couple of years about being a well of life, an oasis of life. There was one prophetic word that came about being a rainforest, where all sorts of, the picture was, you know, we've just come back from Africa not long ago, had the privilege of going into the bush in the Kruger Park and seeing lots of animals. We had the blessing of seeing the big five in one day. I mean, it had to be God. We were half an hour from the gate, and we'd seen three of the big five in the morning, and we saw a leopard, and then just about 2 minutes from the gate, the sun going down quickly, there was three rhino lying on the side of just off the road. And I thought, I don't think we've ever seen rhino in that area before. It's like God took a crane and just dumped them there. They were just lying there. But we had the privilege of seeing animals in the bush. But one of the things, and it was very dry. So often, where do you see the animals? At the waterhole. They come for the water. And God gave us a prophetic picture over us as a community about 18 months, 2 years ago, about us being at a waterhole where people will come to be refreshed. Come to receive from the source, that river of life. Let's just read then, John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. I think it's going to come up wonderful. I'm going to find my Bible, so don't get too lazy here. On the last day, the great day of the feast, and this is the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out. It's one of the few occasions where He actually shouted. He cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This He spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amazing thing happened at this Feast of Tabernacles. which takes place in Israel in the September-October time. And it's an amazing feast. It's like the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. Yom Kippur is part of that. But the last day is called, in the Hebrew, Simchat Torah. It means the rejoicing of the law. The last day is where they celebrate God and God's blessings to them, and the fact that they remember God's covenant promises and keeping power over their lives as a nation. And they celebrate the word, they celebrate God's life, but they celebrate it's the end of the dry season. The rains are coming again. That's what happens at this time of year in Israel. It's been dry, and it was very dry where we were in South Africa. It's been dry, but the rains are coming. And so what would happen was the priest would take a massive or large pitcher, vessel, and he would go to the pool of Siloam, and he would fill it to overflowing with water, and then he would walk to the temple, and he would kind of hold this thing up in the air and saying, God is a God of blessing. It's the end of the dry season. He's the God who meets with us. Remember in the Old Testament, it talks about the rains coming was a sign of God's blessing on the land. And he would pour it over the altar and people would rejoice. At that moment, on that great day of the feast, another man stood up, probably very near to the temple. If you look at the passage, he was already preaching in the temple at that time in the feast. And he shouted and said, actually, the dry season is over in a completely different way. There's a new phase, there's a new kingdom coming, and it's not in just natural water from heaven, it's in spiritual water through the heavenly man who's come down. Don't go to there to drink, come to me to drink, Jesus says. And it's not just for the Israelites, it's for anyone. you could imagine, this kind of stirred the apple cart a bit. Jesus was always stirring things. Because he brought something brand new. It was actually the fulfillment of everything that God has spoken in the Old Testament, but it came in a completely different way to what they expected. So Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living waters. You see, we're not simply believers. That's where it begins. We see Christ, we see who he is, we see what he's done for us, and we believe. Believing is very important. I've mentioned earlier in the meeting that faith, which is what belief means, is the currency by which we tap into is the means by which we tap into the currency and the life and the resources of heaven. But belief is not simply, oh, I believe in God. James, who we're going to be looking into as a book later in the term, says in chapter 2 and verse 19 of his letter that it's one thing to believe, but even the devil and the demons believe and they tremble. Jesus is saying the believers will become receivers of life. And so friends, the challenge for us this morning is, what are people receiving from us? Because we can only pass on what we have received. We can only pass on what we're confident that we know that we have experienced, that we are enjoying, and that we have. Yeah? And Jesus is saying, come and drink freely. I loved what Roy said this morning. Can you see the connection? Come and drink freely. He didn't know what I was going to preach on. Come back to the source and drink freely of the water of life. And there is an invitation every day from Jesus Christ to you as a son and daughter of the King, to each person, anyone actually. Come to me and drink. Come to me and find rest for your souls. Come to me and receive. Come to me and let me fill your cup to overflowing. So that actually when you go out to your workplace, when you chat with your neighbor, there is something more than just chat that's happening. There's a persona that's coming through your person that can radiate through your life, and it's Christ, it's the Holy Spirit in you. Receivers. We were at the Alpha training on Friday evening, which was at Destiny, and one of the Alpha guys shared a testimony in terms of prayer, of how they'd prayed for many years for a friend of theirs who was an atheist, and we'll call his name Ed. And Ed was very resistant to the gospel. But what they started to do was kind of focus prayers on this guy. A number of people, 27 people started to pray every week for this guy. And then they had a three-day time of prayer and fasting. And at the end of that time of prayer and fasting, Ed came out of his room one day. I think he was in a student environment. And he came out and he went across to somebody who was a Christian. One day, totally out of it, this is after years of praying, came out and said, "Jesus met with me last night." This is in Glasgow. And friends, just the power when we encounter God on other people's behalf, Jesus can encounter others who we're praying for. I'll come back to that. So, is your Christianity just a few good morals, or have you been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, encountered Jesus, and filled with the river of life? Notice it says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers. Yeah? It's like, you know, when you see rivers, wherever the river flows, brings refreshment, brings power, brings life. Jesus said to that woman at the well, "Whoever drinks of the water, this water from the well, will thirst again. But whoever, doesn't matter who you are, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But that water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Releasing the life wherever we go. And, you know, we're talking about us as a community, releasing that life. And part of the thing of, as we finish off the work at 107C McDonald Road, one of the things that we felt there is that it's kind of the rivers of life being flowing out. And on Friday evening, a couple prayed for me at the Alpha time. Didn't know me from a bar of soap, and I just said, "Look, we're looking at starting up an Alpha course in the new year," and told them a bit about the building that we're renovating, etc., for engaging the community and stuff. And this guy had a picture of bridges and streams, several bridges and several streams, and he said, "I just see you building bridges, and I just see the streams of the waters of life just flowing out." Just again, just confirmation, rivers of life flowing out. But we need to be confident in what God has put in our lives. Confident. And, you know, if I can ask this question, when we come here on a Sunday morning, do we come with an expectation that we're going to actually change our environment? When we go out into our workplace, do we go out with an expectation we're going to change our environment? I want to say, as Jesus points out three things out of this passage that we need to have to be releasing those rivers of life. The first one is we need to have an appetite for Him, a hunger for Him, a thirst for Him. God responds and He fills thirsty people. Yeah? Those animals they're looking for water, they're thirsty. And the more we are thirsting for God, the more He will fill us. That's the first thing. A for appetite. The second A is the right attitude. The right attitude. An attitude that says, I'm expectant for God to work through my life today. I'm expectant for God actually to give me a word of encouragement for somebody today in this meeting or when I go into the streets on Saturday with the treasure hunting. It's an expectant attitude. The other part of attitude is having a thankful attitude, an attitude of gratitude, where it says in Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. How? By singing spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a direct connection with, I'm coming to, with a thankful heart, it goes on to say, being thankful for everything that God has done in Jesus Christ to God the Father. There's a direct correlation between thanksgiving and releasing God's life. Expectation, an attitude of expectation, an attitude of gratitude, and the third thing is an attitude to serve Christ and His people and others. In other words, availability. And when there's an appetite and when there's an attitude that we're wanting to serve, and we're expectant, we're thankful, guess what happens? The life is released. And the third A is this, though. I want to dwell on this for a couple of minutes. The third A says appetite, attitude. The third A is activating the life of God that is already within you. I mentioned last week in the preach that in one sense, you will never have more of God than you already have. If you have been born again and you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the life of God in you. We used to sing a song many years ago when I got born again. I've got a river of life flowing out from me. Do you remember this one, Dorothy? Oh, come on. This is how old it is. I've got a river of life flowing out through me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, set the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out through me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me that life abundantly. And somebody added, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing and dancing since Jesus made me whole. Can't remember the rest of the verse. Once I was in darkness and captive to my sins, but now I'm full of life and I'm always praising Him. I've got a river of life flowing out. If you start your day like that, and you sing it and say it and know it with conviction, you will be a life changer. Because it's not just a song. It's truth. It's truth. It's truth. It's true. And it's truth. And it's true for the oldest person here, right down to the youngest who knows Jesus. You are a river of life. If you know Jesus this morning and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a river of life and you can bring life healing to barren hearts this week, into barren situations. Can you say, yes? I mean, this is why Jesus has come, friends. Danny started the meeting. He came to seek and to save the lost. That's why we've been saved, to seek and to save the lost. Somebody shared the gospel with me. It was my brother. I saw a difference in his life. I didn't just see a believer. I saw a receiver of life. I saw something different on his life, a persona that had been totally changed by somebody out of this world, that something had come down, and I was thirsty to know what it was. There are thousands of people, scores of people in your neighborhood and my neighborhood, who are starving for the love of God. They want it. They just don't know that's what they need. But they've been designed to be filled with the love of God. And Jesus says, come to me. If anyone will come and drink, come with the right attitude of expectant hearts to serve others with gratitude and activate that life in you. You see, he said the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But we live on the other side of Pentecost, friends. Jesus is ascended. The Spirit has been poured out with power. Power. How many of you, when you got up this morning, you went into your lounge and it was dark, and you thought, gee, it's dark in here. I'd better phone Scottish Power, find out what's going on. I'd better phone Scottish Hydro or whoever your power company is. And you phone them and say, what's going on here? My living room's dark. And the guy says, have you switched the light on? Gee, I forgot about that. Thank you. I mean, that would be very weird, wouldn't it, to make that phone call. But many Christians live like that. They're calling out to God for the power, but the power is already within you. And all you need to do is flick the switch on the inside. You need to activate the life of God on the inside. Paul said to Timothy, God's not given you a spirit of intimidation. He's not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. The word is dunamis in the Greek. It means dynamic. It means ability. Turn to the person behind you and say, God has given you ability in the Holy Spirit. It's true, friends. This is the river of life in you. This is the truth of God's word. It's not rah, rah, rah. This is the life of Christ in you. This is how Jesus lived. When that woman pressed in to touch the hem of his garment, she had faith. She said to herself, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She'd suffered for 12 years with this hemorrhage. She spent all her livelihood, the scriptures tell us, in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8. She spent everything and got no better. But she said, maybe it was a last-ditch effort, but she said, I must get to Jesus. She'd heard about Jesus. She was heard that he was a good teacher. She'd heard that he taught with power and authority. And she'd heard that there was power flowing out of him. She had faith. She probably had heard there was a... If you read Mark's Gospel, a few miracles had happened up until that point where Jesus had spoken to sicknesses and people had been healed, and Jesus had touched people and people had been healed and people had touched Jesus. So maybe she'd heard about that. She said, if only I can get near to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And do you remember the story? She touched him and she was instantly healed. And the Bible says she felt it in her body. The wonderful thing is, Jesus felt it too. He's on his way to heal somebody else. There's crowds everywhere. And he turns around and said, who touched my garment, cloak? The disciples said, Jesus, are you crazy? There's hundreds of people around here. And he's looking around. Because he recognized it's been a touch of faith. It wasn't just a random touch. This was a an intentional, not an international. This is an intentional, purposeful, pressing in touch of faith. And it released power. Because there's no shortage of power in Jesus. Her faith flicked the switch and released the power. And it's a challenge for us, isn't it? But I want to encourage you this morning, friends. That life is in you. That power is in you. The Bible tells us that. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. You see, we can give up praying for people. Sometimes when we take hits and we pray for people and they don't get better, or we pray for people and bad things happen. But the Word of God hasn't changed. God Himself hasn't changed. And He wants to release His life, His love, and His power to multitudes in the city through His people. Activate that life of God. Flick that switch. And friends, when we do that corporately on a Sunday morning, on a Thursday evening in a life group, this time of prayer and fasting that we've got, 3 days of prayer and fasting, when we come together, what happens is that Trevor's river combines with Timo's river and Roy's river and Lorraine's river and Sabina's river and each one of our rivers, and you end up with a torrent flowing. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. For 10 days, they prayed. They didn't know when the Holy Spirit was going to come. Jesus had just said, wait. But they weren't kind of, okay, let's wait. Now, they were engaged. They had an appetite for God. The attitude was expectant and thankful. And they were activating that through prayer. Now, I want to encourage us and I want to challenge us. Every Sunday we have a prayer blast here from 9:45 till 10 o'clock. I want to challenge you to be there. Because your contribution in a prayer meeting with others changes you and us and brings heaven down to earth in our city. It actually changes things in Holland, in Germany, in Africa, in America when we pray together. I mentioned the story about Ed in Glasgow. That was a result of prayer and fasting. There was another couple of stories that we heard on Friday. A lady called Bethan, who was a student, who'd been praying for friends in her flat for 3 years. And not a lot had happened, but she kept going, she kept praying. And she started praying with this other group of... Let me tell you a bit more about that group of 27. So they started to get students together to pray last year, and they expected two or three to arrive for the first prayer meeting. They got 27. That first one, 27. And Sam was saying that over the year, over the whole 12 months, every week, weekly prayer meeting, there's been an average of 27. Friends, when we come together intentionally, purposefully, consistently, expectantly, full of faith, looking to Christ, things start to happen. God changes us and heaven starts to come down to earth. And what happened was one of her flatmates was invited to an Alpha course and she got saved, finally. The other flatmate saw such a difference in her life that in a few weeks she got saved too. I had a phone call or a WhatsApp call this week from Peter Anderson, who leads Destiny Church in Edinburgh. And a new prayer meeting is starting up for pastors on Thursday morning from 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a weekly prayer meeting. And I love his language. You know, we're going to pray until Jesus comes. And we've talked about that in this context here before in terms of different things that we're doing in terms of prayer. But friends, there's a fresh call from heaven to pray corporately together. And I'm challenging you, with your children, come early on a Sunday, prayer blast, 9:45 till 10 o'clock. Next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And praise. Prayer, praise, and fasting. So there's something about prayer and praise that just changes things. Bring your kids. How will your children learn how to pray corporately outside, just outside of your family environment? They learn through experience. It's an amazing thing. And you know, that's where generals are raised up. That's where the next generation is raised up. They see God at work. They experience God from a young age. You've heard me tell that story before of Karina Erskine, who was a four-year-old, asleep under the dining room table in a home group. And she was there because her parents took her every week to the home group. And she just slept under the dining room table. And one particular evening, in that the journey of that home group, the Holy Spirit came with such power in that meeting that she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She got woken up from her sleep and started speaking in tongues. Did they know that was going to happen? No. Did anybody know that was going to happen at that moment, on that evening? But the reality is, she was prepared by her parents for that moment. There's power in praying together, friends. There's power in praising together. There's power in fasting together. It was a lifestyle with Jesus, and I'm preaching to myself this morning. It needs to be a lifestyle for me and a lifestyle for us. Yeah? God's challenged me in that area again in terms of prayer and fasting. And I'm going to ask the leaders to hold me accountable for it. Because we have a short span on this planet and we need to make a difference. But I'm excited about the season we're in for the city, as elders in the city pray together, and for us as a church, as we just see, there's a sense of new harvesting time. It's a new harvesting time. But this is what Jesus says. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And then he says, you prayers, go. Go. Praying and going. Releasing, refreshing, releasing the life. I need to come into land here. Let me finish off by saying this, that, you know, when you've got the river of life flowing in you, there's a generosity of spirit that actually can surprise people. When you've got the river of life in you, there's something that can rise up above challenging circumstances and release something miraculous from heaven. I mentioned earlier that we were in the Kruger Park, had the privilege of being in there for a couple of days. On the third day that we went, the second day that we went in, we were about 26 kilometers from the gate, and the sun was starting to go down again. We always cut it fine to get out of the gate in time. And you had to get out, otherwise you'd be locked in. We're about half an hour from the gate. And we see a whole lot of elephant over the river. So we stopped the car, we borrowed a car from a friend, we switch off the car, and Lynn's driving, and she tries to start the car again, the car won't stop. And it was a Land Rover, it was a nice car, but it had one of those lock switches, you know, it was not an ignition turn, it was kind of a key that you put into ignition, and then you press the button and it starts, and this thing wouldn't start. Nothing was happening. Now we're 26 kilometers from the gate, we've got half an hour to get there, and we're in the middle of the bush, and there's no signal on our mobile phone. So thankfully one or two guys are also late driving past, so we spoke to a Canadian guy. He said, okay, when we get into signal, we'll phone the gate and get them to come and rescue you. But the prospects weren't great, you know, so the adrenaline was flowing a bit. We started to pray. Lynn and I are in the front, Lorna's in the back, and Lorna starts to sing. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness, we're still in your hands, this is my confidence, you've never failed me yet. So we all start to sing. And then something, I believe it was supernatural happened. The light came on in the car. I mean, nothing caused that to happen. The light in the car. Now we learned in driving this car that when the thing pops out, when you're going out, the light comes on and then you lock it and everything shuts down. When the light came on, I said to Lynn, "Press that button." She pressed the button. The car started. It was a supernatural moment. And then we didn't stop until we got home. And the next day, the other supernatural provision, there was a Land Rover place 2 minutes up the drag on this dirt road in the middle of nowhere. And so that's another story. But the point of that story is this: things happen when you pray and praise. It releases supernatural life. God breaks in where there seems to be no way through. And he wants to do that through your life and my life, into other people's lives who are facing situations like that right now.